Let's roll. This is Countercharge, your podcast for all things Kings of War. Join your hosts, Mark Zielinski, Jeremy Duval, and Rob Phaneuf as they delve into the world of Mantica and bring you in-depth coverage of all things Kings of War.
Welcome to Countercharge. This is Spencer Ellsworth.
And I'm Jeremy Duval. That's right. Jeremy's flying solo this episode with my great friend Spencer. How are you doing, Spencer?
I'm doing fantastic. It's a Friday, which means After Dark is coming up, and we're going to get some painting done.
Yes, the After Dark chat has been firing on all cylinders today. It's going to be really cool after we finish up recording, going to be slipping into After Dark. So we've had Spencer on the show before. Spencer was on last year to talk about Kublai Khan, which is what today's episode is going to be about. We're going to be discussing all things Kublai. Just for our newer audience, Spencer, why don't you just kind of give a quick recap. Tell us a little bit about how you got into miniature wargaming, what some of your favorite games are. Just speak a little bit to kind of the gamer origin story of Spencer.
Sure. So I got into miniature wargaming originally with a set of rules when I was really young that I found online called Fighting Plastic. And those rules were geared around trying to create a miniature war game that used little plastic army men. Years later, I then got enamored with the Lord of the Rings miniatures from Games Workshop. Those were a lot of fun and seemed really awesome. I really enjoyed playing that game. It was a really nice set of skirmish rules. And then I found out about Kings of War because I was looking for something a little more mass battle fantasy. I was like, Lord of the Rings is great, but I want to recreate the big battles in Lord of the Rings. How can I do that? So I was looking around, and of course, because I was familiar with Games Workshop, I'd heard about Warhammer fantasy battles. And I was like, oh, this looks awesome, except that multi-hundred page rule book is a little bit daunting after having never done like hardcore miniature wargaming before. So this was about the time that Kings of War first edition was coming out, and they were launching the Kickstarter and so forth. And so I hopped on board, checked things out, and it's just the rest is history. I've been following them ever since the original Ratkin list was just somebody's beta list, fan list that they'd come up with on a forum, and now it's official, and you know, following all of the expansions and so forth. So I primarily play Kings of War as well as Frostgrave, which scratches a nice itch between a role-playing game and a small skirmish. I'm also starting to get into some more 40K style sci-fi skirmish games, and I DM a group for Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition.
Now, I first met Spencer, 2017, so summer of 2017, or maybe it was, I think it was 2016.
Actually. It must have been 2016, because 2017 was the first Bay of Kings season, and we'd been gaming for a while before that.
That's right. Spencer's one of our members of our local San Francisco Bay Area community. He runs a lot of our one-day events at Heretic Games. But before we get into Kublai Khan, Spencer, speak a little bit to kind of how Kings of War has been evolving in the Bay Area over the last couple of years. You know, I think we've been getting, you know, our scene has been starting to pick up a little momentum. But kind of from your perspective as someone who runs events, how has Kings of War been growing in the Bay Area over the last, you know, year and a half?
Sure. So to me, it feels as though Kings of War has really started to go from more of a group of people hanging out and gaming to much more organized people traveling in for events. When I started playing Kings of War here in the Bay Area, it was just with my then fiance and a friend of ours, and we had run a Kings of War demo at KublaCon and talked with a couple of great people, some of those people who are now heavily involved in the community. And without that initial demo, which at the time I wasn't even sure that I was comfortable running a demo, sort of like, I've only been playing this game for 6 months. Am I ready to be showing other people? Without that initial demo, I don't think I would have gotten connected with some of the folks that are now core integral members of our group, showing up to every single event. So really, the community has evolved from, hey, let's hang out every Tuesday night at the local game store, Heretic Games in San Bruno, to, hey, let's actually try and get events organized where we're running tournaments that actually have prize support and bringing in people not just from the south of San Francisco, Bay Area Peninsula area, but also like folks from up north of San Francisco. We're trying to pull in people from out of the area and just expand the player base. And it's been amazing because as we kept running these events and publicizing this across Facebook groups and so forth, it was like Kings of War players here in the Bay Area were just coming out of the woodwork. We found a group of people who had been playing and had started independent of us up in San Francisco proper that we didn't even know about. And now we've gotten connected with them. And so they're coming to our events and we're meeting up with them for doing some of their campaigns and so forth. Destiny of Kings was one that they ran through again recently. And so it's been great to just kind of see that community expand as more and more people get into and excited about the game. It's really helped having a core group of people who are very passionate about Kings of War, passionate about actually keeping a community going, and very willing to run events and publicize these things such that and like Jeremy getting on and doing Countercharge so that we can let people know, because without that publicity, our player base is either going to just stagnate or really never reach the people who might be interested in starting the game in the first place. Every year at KublaCon, which we'll get to, we've got opportunities for new players to be getting into the game so that it's not just an exclusive club that seems unapproachable because, oh, all these people already know what they're doing. They're in tournaments after all.
Yeah. You know, I think you bring up some interesting points, and I know kind of, a couple threads kind of speak to me, and one is I think we're lucky in our group that I know all of us, when we've been into games, sometimes for lack of people to play with, or sometimes you've had to play pickup games with maybe people who you don't fall in love with, and I think one thing's lucky in our group is that we honestly, I feel like, get along with each other. You know, so it's not just we like to play miniature war games with each other and mostly like Kings of War. Is I think that we honestly just enjoy like hanging out, talking about whatever, you know, and I think that that's like a lucky thing to have in a gaming group.
Definitely. And we're all very supportive. The community here is awesome. If you want to test a new list for, you know, whatever silly idea you may have come up with while daydreaming at work, or if you want to go and, like Jeremy, what you were doing for the tournaments that you're going to and actually run do a local list testing against publicized, like very tier one lists, the community is very supportive of that sort of thing. I remember my first 5 to 10 games of Kings of War were playing against myself just to test out and understand the rules and how an army functioned. And, you know, nowadays I can reach out to the local community and be like, hey, I'm testing out some idea, or I've got some really silly thing that I want to see how it works. Or even just when like the new Clash of Kings rules come out and we've got new units to try out, it's like, hey, you know, this isn't going to be necessarily even a serious game, but you want to get together and hang out, play Kings of War, try out the new rules, try out the new spells, that sort of thing. and it's really supportive in a way that's not intensely competitive, as I know some of the gaming scenes that I've been involved in the past have been.
You know, I really think we have what I like about our group, and I think this is something good for people who, when you're building a group or you're building a scene, is that I feel like we have sort of a space for everyone in regards to, there are people in our group who are hyper-competitive. There's people in our group who are more into narrative. There's people in our group who love to paint. So I think in a gaming group, if you can give a home and a place to be for all those different sort of type of gamers, I think you build stronger ties of community and stronger ties of fellowship when you're kind of open your doors to all types of people. Because, you know, in the end, we all get different things out of this hobby.
Yeah, but variety is the spice of life. Even those intensely competitive folks within our group really enjoy it when we, you know, when we sit down and we have those narrative games or working through the campaigns. And on the flip side, the folks who are more into the narrative and just casual play have come to tournaments and enjoyed it. You know, even if they're getting crushed, everybody's still having a lot of fun. I don't know of a time when we've had anybody walk away from any of our events feeling as though things went intensely wrong. And for myself, I know that I've sort of been transitioning over the past couple of years from person who really likes to play Kings of War to person who really likes to run Kings of War events and get more into that narrative. And I'm okay with that. It's been great that I have a community where I can run events for people who are very accepting and interested in actually hosting those. I mean, I'm sure that for some communities, that's actually one of their bigger problems is finding somebody to do that in the first place. But, I always wondered, okay, like when I first got into DMing for Dungeons and Dragons, it was like, okay, are there actually going to be players that want to go on adventures? And in the same way for Kings of War, it was like, if I write this narrative adventure, are there going to be players who want to play my crazy custom scenario? And the answer here locally in the Bay Area has been a resounding yes.
You know, and I think sometimes running events can be like a thankless job. You know, it's kind of, people are so focused on playing in it or doing well in a tournament, they sometimes don't always give the recognition to the people who make it happen. And I think that that's one good thing that we've done in trying to build our scene, is sort of pass that baton between the group, right? To where, you know, you're kind of the one day's at Heretic and the czar of Kublai Khan, and then Britton and Steve stepped up to do Bay of Kings. And I've been helping, you know, with promotion and prize support and just kind of like getting our scene out to like the bigger community. So I think that that's been kind of like a success for us and can be maybe a little bit of a blueprint for other areas that are small like us, is if you can not leave all of the planning on the shoulders of one person, of try to identify what different people want to do and kind of like come together and help inspire each other, keep each other motivated. Because if you're the only one organizing events in your region, maybe one day you get sick or you need to take a break. And if there's no one else to sort of pick up the baton for you, I could see how a smaller community could just sort of like dwindle away.
Definitely. Definitely. And you know, when the community really, it revolves around all of us. It's not revolving around one person who, you know, we're not relying on one specific person to always provide the terrain or provide the miniatures or provide a place for us to play. And Heretic Games has been extremely gracious to us, as well as Game Castle in Mountain View, for providing us with avenues where we can regularly get together and form a Kings of War community around their store.
Yeah, definitely. You know, so I mean, we've been picking up a lot of steam. Sort of kind of our Kings of War community, kind of we have our one days, but our sort of like big events in the year is, you know, Spencer mentioned it, the Bay of Kings, which is our big 2-day GT, which this year is going to be held in October. We're working on finalizing the details, but then the other big major gaming event in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is what we're going to talk about tonight, is KublaCon. So, Spencer, why don't you just give us describe a little bit of what goes on at KublaCon besides me and Eddie spending way too much money at the Chessex dice booth.
But really, I mean, don't you absolutely need dice that match every single one of your armies for both wound counters and for the dice that you're rolling for attacks? Oh, and totally, you need dice for your magic attacks separately. And if you don't have a special pair of dice for nerve checks, I mean, you're not fulfilling that KublaCon experience.
Yeah, and I mean, I think everyone who's in this hobby, you love dice. I mean, I think what probably was, I remember as a little kid in role playing of seeing the shining, glorious plastic, you know, RPG dice cube of all the different shapes and sizes and colors, and just remember just being fascinated by dice. And at KublaCon, there's a big vendor hall, which, you know, Spencer can go more into detail, but one of my favorite booths there is one of the local game stores has a giant Chessex dice display, and it's like whatever you can imagine they have. But why don't you just sort of like give us a rundown about KublaCon? It's kind of like a little bit of a unique animal. So why don't you give us kind of a little bit?
Sure.
What is kind of the experience someone has when they go to KublaCon?
Sure. Just as a brief aside, I actually found my first set of non-white dice that I ever purchased the other day. It's a dark gray and blue set of like 5 D10s that I've actually never used for anything. I think they were originally released for use with a role-playing game, Werewolf the Forsaken or something like that, and I'm still looking for a chance to actually use them. I think I bought them because I saw them at Borders bookstore years ago and thought, oh, these look awesome. They're not white. And not that I have anything against white dice. Mantic, keep throwing tons of white dice our way. But yeah, that was sort of a nostalgic, oh, my first pair of like special gaming dice. Yeah. All right. So KublaCon. So KublaCon is a massive gaming convention that takes place over Memorial Day weekend here in Burlingame, California, which is just south of San Francisco. This year, KublaCon is going to be held from May 24th to 28th. Yes, that's right. 4 days is actually starting on Thursday this year because people just can't get enough of the gaming. So it is 96 hours of nonstop gaming. There's not as much going on at night as there is during the day, but there are still events going all night long. So KublaCon encompasses gaming of all types, everything from miniature wargaming, of course, which is what we were there for, to trading card games, board games, live-action role-playing games, and then various other aspects of the gaming hobby, such as tournaments, fun playtesting of prototype games, gaming events where you can meet game creators, miniature painting, and of course, as Jeremy was mentioning, the vendor hall. There's a fantastic shopping opportunity. Tons of big name vendors as well as small game creators are going to be there selling all sorts of games, accessories, everything from t-shirts to tons of dice to custom bags and patches and apparel. We've got some fantastic new vendors that have come in the past year or so selling gaming mats and things like that. And it's just always a blast to see what vendors have set up shop. We've also, KublaCon is home to a rather large game flea market. So if you're looking for some of those old out of print games, that's a great place to find them. The flea market is also home to a lot of fantastic deals on armies that people are looking to sell. That's a place where I know that I personally have picked up some miniatures that otherwise I would not have been able to get my hands on, because they were from an era before I even got into miniature wargaming. Then there's entire areas of the convention, too, that are specially aimed at younger players, where they have adult supervision, so mom and dad can go game with other adults, and the kids will have their own special gaming area with events that are being run just for them, too. On top of all of this, if that wasn't enough, KubliCon also hosts several seminars, historical seminars, as well as seminars on game design. I think there was at least one sculpting class in the past. And then, of course, there are painting classes. And the best part of all of this, it's all free with your entrance to KubliCon. You don't have to, most events, I should say, I got a caveat here. Most events do not require any sort of separate admission cost to be paid outside of your registration for the KubliCon convention itself. Prize support is typically taken care of either through sponsorships, or KubliCon has a great prize structure where for participating in events, you're given Kubla bucks that you can go and spend at a special vendor area that accepts that currency.
Yeah, I think one of the unique things about KubliCon is that it sort of like takes over the hotel that it's takes place in. I mean, you have all the hotels, a gaming area, a vendor hall, but it has a very nice sort of open atrium feeling. So people are playing board games in the bars, on the sides of hotel rooms. Hotel rooms themselves have events. So it's like this kind of nice airport near hotel that just basically gets taken over by gamers for 4 days.
Yeah, and everyone, it's an incredible, incredibly friendly environment to walk through too, especially the open gaming areas. Like you mentioned, there are people playing board games all over the place, but the KubliCon is rather unique in terms of conventions that I've been to in that, and I hope that other conventions also have this. I haven't been to too many, but they have a board game library where you can come and you can check out board games from the hundreds that they have. And then you can go and sit down. They've got a special area where you can play these games, and they have a system set up to where you can advertise if you're looking for additional people for your games. So if you're interested in playing a board game, if you don't know what you want to play, just wander through that area and look for somebody advertising for additional players and make new friends. Stay for as long as you want. It really is a fantastic community that has come up around this convention.
Yeah, and I think that last year, before we sort of get into the events that we're having this year, I think we really made some cool strides, because I know at one night we had a mega game going on, and then also we had a Kings of War demo night. And I know for a fact that was the most people playing Kings of War at one time than maybe we've ever had in Northern California, if not the whole state. So I felt like we got some really good momentum with Kings of War last year. So why don't you speak a little bit to, and you can kind of go through the events you're doing and then speak to the other Kings of War events. Why don't you kind of give our listeners sort of a basic rundown of what sort of Kings of War stuff is going to be going on at KubliCon?
Definitely. So this year at KubliCon, we're going to have three Kings of War events. We're going to have a primary Kings of War tournament. It's going to be a tournament that is primarily geared at fantasy, but we won't turn anyone away from bringing a historical army. And in fact, if we do have at least one player here in the Bay Area who has brought a historical army to a primarily fantasy tournament and done perfectly fine. So if you want to bring your fantasy army, your historical army to play in the tournament, that's awesome. So we've got one tournament. It's going to be a three-round tournament taking place on Sunday, the 27th, at 11 a.m. It's 2,000 points. We do use the most recent rule set from Mantic, so Clash of Kings 2018. and all of the rule changes, as well as the new units that are involved in that. Then on Saturday night, we have two Kings of War events going on. We've got, first of all, I believe it's at 6 p.m., Chris Offinger is going to be running his Kings of War school for probably the, what is this, like the third year in a row now? Chris does a fantastic job of introducing new players to the game. He's got multiple tables set up and brings multiple armies, so no problem if you don't have your own figures. And just want to learn how to play. It's a great time. He runs new players through the game and then usually gets you set up playing against somebody else who is new or somebody who has a little bit of experience with the game, just to play as long as you like, fight one battle, fight a couple battles, and just hang out. Chris is also super knowledgeable about Kings of War, and can answer any questions that you might have, because while the rules are pretty straightforward and short, there's always those small corner cases that tend to come up that can kind of baffle new players. Then our third event is also going to be taking place on Saturday night at 6 p.m., and this is our Kings of War nighttime fight time. This is the mega battles that Jeremy referred to that we held last year, and it was fantastic. So what we do is we've got a custom scenario. You bring a 2,000-point army of whatever army you want, fantasy, historical, living legends are totally fine, mythical creatures are also fine, and what we're going to have is, again, a custom scenario. It'll be different from last year. Last year, we did a large free-for-all, everybody against everybody else, with a central objective where you were trying to get that central objective and hold it for a certain number of turns. And it was a lot of fun. We have a game master who actually keeps everybody on track, because as you can imagine, when you have 8 to 12 players all on the same board, it can be kind of chaotic trying to make sure of, okay, whose turn is it? Who's attacking who? So we've got a game master who actually keeps track of all of the turns and the turn order. Additionally, there's some fun extras thrown in, random turn orders based on, just to sort of simulate more of a that multiplayer experience. This year, we are going to have a custom scenario that will be announced at the event. It will be, again, a sort of multiplayer game on a huge table, lots of minis, lots of fighting. So if you know how to play Kings of War, I highly recommend you come hang out with us. It's very casual. If you want to bring proxied armies, that's totally fine. We're just going to all be hanging out and having a great time. While at the same time, if you aren't as familiar with Kings of War and you want to learn how to play or brush up on the rules, Chris will be running that Kings of War school at the same time of 6 p.m. on Saturday night.
Yeah, and this year we've been doing our Bay of Kings inaugural tournament season circuit. And basically what that's been is we've kind of come in a way to sort of track our yearly standings and kind of get people used to keeping track of their scores as we start kind of building our region and getting more towards wanting to compete in U.S. Masters. Is we're getting people kind of sort of used to what it means to play in a year-long series of tournaments. And I'm excited because the KublaCon, being one of our bigger events, is worth bonus points. And the standings right now are all pretty close. So it's going to be really interesting to see, depending on how people do at KublaCon, to see sort of the shakeup on the leaderboard for the Bay of Kings tournament season.
Oh, that's going to be exciting. So who's in first right now, Jeremy?
So Eddie's in first. Only because he's played one more event than I. I've only played two events, so I'm in second place. So he's only beating me because I had to move and couldn't play that day. And that's okay because Eddie doesn't listen to podcasts, so I can talk as much smack about him as I want to because he's never going to listen to the show. And then his partner in crime, Dustin, is in third place, but we're all only apart from each other by 1 point. So it's going to be really close. And your better half, Larlin's in fourth place. So she's doing pretty good, too.
Yeah, she's pushing on in there. Last year, she took the win for the mega battle, kind of slipped in behind everybody else's combats and had some of her really speedy units grab the objective and just get out of there. So, yeah, it should be very exciting to see how things shake up, especially at this year's tournament. Yes. Just a reminder to those of you who were at KubaCon last year. Last year, we did hold the tournament on Saturday, and for in order to get as many players as possible to the tournament who may be participating in other events, this year we are holding that tournament on Sunday. So don't party too hard Saturday night. We need you fresh and rested for 11 a.m. Sunday morning for that King's War tournament.
Yeah, I remember that mega battle was so fun. I was like, I was ready to equip myself with my magical artifact of Long Island iced teas. So me and Steve from Rough Rider Wargaming were deployed next to each other, and I was like, Steve, let's kill each other so that I can go get my Long Island iced tea and then come back and relax. And Laurelin was sort of just like going, da-da-da, I'm just going to kind of walk up here and win the whole scenario, as everyone else is like beating the crap out of each other. So it was pretty fun.
Yeah, it did work out well, and then the two of you just kind of, you know, got into this little circle of fighting each other and had to keep watching your flank as everybody else maneuvered in. It was exciting. It was the very first time that I think I've ever played on, I'm trying to remember what size table we were using, like a 6x12 table, and deploying that many people too was an interesting experience, but also just looked absolutely amazing.
Well, Steve had used the earlier that day the Jesse Cornwell special and had beaten me on the top table with Ogre Siege Breakers, and we had played just by chance. It was like the eliminate scenario, so he just kept all his Ogre Siege Breakers like in a corner and was like, well, you know, if you can kill them, you'll win, and then if not, I'll win. So it's like, I need my revenge. So I'm not sure if he is going to make it this year. I think he said he was, but I'm coming with like a target for Steve. But, and I know that Britton said he's going to come, so, which is great. You know, he's starting to get out just a smidge. You know, he had a baby. So, but he's starting to get, I know he's been jonesing to get a little, to get some games in, but
definitely got to train the next generation.
Seriously. Why don't you speak a little bit as we kind of like wrap things up? I know KubaCon is a little unique in how you sign up for events. So will you just kind of briefly talk a little bit about how the miniature wargaming works for signing up? So if anyone's interested, they kind of know how to sign up for the event.
Definitely. So when you get to KubaCon, and it can vary sometimes year by year, but typically when you get to KubaCon, for a lot of the miniature wargaming events, there are going to be binders, and these binders will have sign-up sheets in them. And what you'll want to do is you'll want to find the sign-up sheet that is associated with the event that you want to be in on, and at this point you will need to already go through registration, because one of the important things is going to be that you have your registration number. So on that sign-up sheet in the binder, which is near the miniature wargaming area, which is anybody, you know, they can direct at registration, they can direct you to the mini wargaming area. You'll want to put your name on the event listing for that event along with your registration number. So there's no external sign up. It is first come, first serve, and we do have a limited amount of spaces. In the past, we have been able to expand slightly to accommodate additional players. What would be awesome, we've got a Facebook event set up for our for both of the King's War events, and those are also listed on the KubaCon website at KubaCon.com. You can search for the name of the King's War event there. The name is the exact same on the Facebook event. If you would not mind just RSVPing to the Facebook event as well, that way I can know, like, if we start to get 30 people saying that they're going to be there for either the tournament or the nighttime event, we'll talk to the folks at KubaCon and make sure that we've got enough space to accommodate everybody. But yeah, so signups are going to be done at KubaCon. That's first come, first serve. Look for the binders next to the miniature wargaming area and put your name down. We hope to see you there.
Yeah, and in the Facebook groups, they're going to be linked and posted in the Bay Area Kings of War Facebook page, and then also the West Coast Kings of War Masters Region Facebook page, and also the Countercharge Facebook page. So there'll be plenty of ways to kind of see who's going and how to sign up. And just in general, you know, as the kind of scene in California grows, if anyone is in kind of in the greater Bay Area and you have questions about how to get involved in the Kings of War, Bay Area Kings of War Facebook is a great place to start. We're all in that group. We can get games in, and then if not, then we can definitely direct you to people who are playing Kings of War in your area, because there's definitely a lot of pockets in this in the state, so it's we can definitely connect you. So but well, cool, Spencer, is there anything else you want to plug, or is there anything else like non-Kings of War that you're doing at KublaCon?
Yeah, actually, so this year I promise all of you in the Kings of War community, I'm not betraying you. This year I am running demos for another game in addition to my Kings of War events. I'm running demos for A Grimdark Future by One Page Rules. This is a fantastic rule set that has been developed independently that is similar to, but not the same as, Warhammer 40K. In fact, it allows a lot of freedom, and what drew me to it originally was it's very similar to Kings of War in that you can use whatever miniatures you want, you can count as whatever you want, and they really encourage a mindset of let's make the rules as streamlined and straightforward as possible so that you can get the games in and not spend time looking up 20 different charts every time you have a turn. So I'm going to be running on Friday and on Monday, I'm going to be running demos for Grimdark Future. So I'll have a big sign out, come find me and I'll show you how to play. But yeah, so just a quick reminder of when the events are for Kings of War, though, because that's what we're here for. On Saturday at 6 p.m., we've got Kings of War, nighttime fight time. This is the big mega battle. At about the same time, Chris Offinger is going to be running his Kings of War school, probably in the same room. If we get lucky, it'll be even right next to it, and we won't have to yell insults at each other across the room like we did last year. Then on Sunday, we've got the Kings of War tournament at 11 a.m. I do highly recommend, if you're coming to KublaCon for the full weekend, that you sign up for the tournament ahead of time or as early as possible on Sunday morning. That way you can guarantee your spot.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And then I want to give a quick shout out to kind of almost right after KublaCon, the beginning of June. Some of us are going to be heading up to Oregon for the Cascade Clash, which is a Pacific Northwest region event. I know really, really excited about that. That's going to be a 2250. Doing a lot of list building. Rashad from Southern California is going to be coming up too. I'm heading up there. We're going to be hanging out with the Pacific Northwest guys. You know, we really have a goal for getting travel between our two regions. It's looking like we're going to maybe get a handful of those guys to come down for Bay of Kings. So it's cool. It's a really like exciting, positive time to be playing Kings of War in California. You know, I feel like we're finally starting to get some momentum going. So it's just about, you know, continuing that process, building that scene. I'm excited for the nighttime fight time. I think I'm going to talk to Eddie about I'm just going to say, make me an army. I mean, they have so many models of so many armies. I'm just going to say, make me the most ridiculous army that you have models for, and then that's what I'm going to play in the mega battle.
Perfect. Perfect. That'd be pretty fantastic. I'm sure that Dustin will probably saddle you with one of his Abyssal Dwarf armies running 15 war machines or something like that.
Just do it. The easier the play, because I need something as my Long Island intake increases, my strategical thinking decreases. So I think having just all the heavy mortars, like I just don't want a couple. I want all the Abyssal Dwarves. Like
whole,
as many as they have in their hold, like just bring them out and I'm just gonna like shoot people. So
sure, and then one speedy unit to pull a last minute Leroy Jenkins at the end, just charge forward into the enemy. You know, certain death awaits you. Yeah, it'll be great.
Cool. Well, if people want to keep track of you, Spencer, I know that you have a Twitter. Why don't you?
The best way to get a hold of me for any questions about Kings of War or Kublai Khan is probably via Twitter. My Twitter handle is ithinmypaints. No spaces, all mashed together. You can also find me on Facebook. Via the various Kings of War events, especially the ones for Kublai Khan, Facebook and Kings of War is about the only reason that I use Facebook. So get a hold of me via Twitter if you want to chat or if you've got any questions.
Well, awesome. Thanks for coming on, Spencer. It's been fun to have you on the show again. And what should our audience always remember?
Keep countercharging.
Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time on Countercharge. Please let us know what you thought of the show by emailing us at counterchargepodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at countercharge15, or by posting on our episode thread on the discussion forum found on manticgames.com. If you enjoy the show, you can help others find out about it by leaving positive reviews on iTunes. Until next time, keep countercharging. Music is a composition of Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under Creative Commons.